Merry Christmas. I was thinking earlier today, you know, I thought we'll be small in number today, but just imagine a few years down the road when we have several services of worship, you'll be remembering that you were at the first service of Christmas Eve worship for Emmanuel Lutheran of Rochester, and my wife and I can't imagine a better place for us tonight to be than with our church family, and so we bid you welcome in the name of Christ. And we bid you Merry Christmas as we celebrate the Feast of the Nativity. A few announcements I want to highlight for you. First of all, this coming Saturday will be Christmas 1, and Reverend Jack Miller is going to be covering for worship while Julie and I spend some time with family. And then also a week from this Saturday, on January 4th, we have a wonderful service planned for you. It's a 12 days of Christmas liturgy and lots of singing of Christmas carols and stuff. Margene will be busy with her piano hands and stuff, but it really is a fun liturgy. And we invite you to bring a bell if you have a bell at home. We'll have a few extras here. And we'll be ringing in the new year and celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. And then on Sunday, January 5th, Julie and I are hosting an Epiphany party at our place as we bring the 12 days of Christmas to a close and we journey with the Magi following the Bethlehem star. So please take note of that. Men's Bible study breakfast will resume on January 7th, but we won't be meeting next Tuesday, okay? So please take note of that as well. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I invite you to rise as you are able for our gathering hymn. Verses 1 and 2 of O Come All Ye Faithful, number 45, verses 1 and 2. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye, to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The highest, most holy, light of light eternal, born of a virgin, a mortal he comes. Son of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, be with you all.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise, hymn number 50, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Once you sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplation, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, yonder seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. O creation, join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son. Evermore your voice is raising to the eternal three in one. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the hearing of God's word. Reading is the Isaiah 1.
First reading, Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and have you who you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Okay. Psalm 96, responsively.
O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his holy name, tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, tremble before him all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
Let the field exult and everything in it.
Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
The word of the Lord. Our gospel acclamation for tonight, the gospel verse, will be Good Christian Friends Rejoice, hymn number 55. Please rise as you are able. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hope. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. Our Christmas Gospel, St. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration before Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Isaiah writes, "The people who lived in darkness, on them the light has shone. And those who dwelt in the land of deepest darkness, the light has penetrated and overwhelmed them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the authority, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of his reign there'll be no end. And he shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever and ever and ever." Right? Alleluia! Handel's Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9. The people who find themselves in darkness, oppressed, held captive, are liberated and set free by the light of the world, Jesus, the Messiah, the one who is promised and who becomes the fulfillment of God's word. With God, all things are possible. God's rhema is the Greek word, never is powerless. It never returns empty. It always accomplishes what God has put it out to do. We come tonight looking for a miracle. We come tonight expecting a miracle, and even more than that, we come tonight to celebrate a miracle, a Christmas miracle. You've probably said it, maybe you've even heard the phrase, spoken it yourself, heard it from others, it would take a miracle. Because it seems impossible. It seems hopeless. It seems like nothing we do is making what we want and need materialize. A miracle. Some people would say, well, that's just luck, chance, fate, destiny. But it's faith that recognizes that this extraordinary happening is, in fact, the intervention of God, the hand of God at work in our world and in our lives. It would take a miracle. January 15th, I was watching Sunday afternoon football, my favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. They were playing down in Dallas, but there was still hopes that they might make the playoffs. They could maybe even win the division, but they're playing in Dallas, and Dallas wanted to make the playoffs too. And I started watching the game, my wife and I, in the basement of our house. And then when it got to be the Packers behind by 23 points, you know, at halftime and stuff, and I said, you know what, things look pretty bleak. In other words, I lost faith, and I knew that it would take a miracle. Well, we decided to be more productive. We spent the afternoon not watching. We shut the TV off. We didn't watch football. Instead, we did Christmas cards. And that night, Julie went to bed about 10, and about 10:30, I checked my emails and checked what was happening on the news, and right there on the front page and over the news on my computer, it said, unbelievable, miraculous comeback. 23 points down, and the Packers won. Now, some people would say, well, it was an early Christmas gift from the Dallas Cowboys. It was a poor management of time and a poor play calling. Now, you want to know a real miracle? They play the Chicago Bears this Sunday. And in Chicago, they would need to win the division, and there would be teams with lots better records that won't even make the playoffs. If the Packers were to make the playoffs, if they were, in fact, to make it to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, that would be a real miracle this year with their marquee quarterback not even being able to play for the last 6 weeks. But is that the miracle that we expect? Is that the miracle that we hope for, long for, celebrate tonight? We set our sights too short if it is. It would take a miracle. Some of you remember Miracle on Ice, 1980, Lake Placid. Some weren't born. But there was this team of amateurs, an amateur hockey team from the United States that didn't have a prayer. Well, they actually had lots of prayers being offered on their behalf, and they upset Russia and Finland, and they won the gold medal in the Winter Olympics. Imagine that. People said it was the miracle on ice. Well, when I think about it would take a miracle, I think of my friend Howie Hoagland. He was a young man, wife, two small kids under the age of 5, but he loved the kids of our congregation, and he volunteered to work with our high school youth group. 15 of us, usually, but he was always there for us, always caring for us. I went off to Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. A couple years after being at college, his younger sister came, and she was a freshman. And I remember that fall that she had said, probably October, November, she said, "I need you to pray for my brother. He has terminal inoperable cancer." And so we prayed for a miracle. He was coming down to Mayo in Rochester, and they said, "There's nothing more we can do. You can come down right before Christmas. We'll monitor and see how fast this cancer is advancing, but treatment at this point would be futile. It would take a miracle." So we prayed for a miracle, and Howie came down a few days before Christmas, and they x-rayed his chest because he had a tumor about the size of a softball in his chest cavity. And when they x-rayed him, they couldn't find it. They thought it was an equipment failure. So they did some more tests, some more x-rays. The long and the short of it is, the doctor said, "We can't explain this, Howie, but you're cancer-free. There's nothing in there." Lucky? Or maybe, faith would say, faith recognizes the hand of God and claims it as the intervention of the Almighty and therefore a miracle. It would take a miracle. Tonight we gather expecting a miracle and celebrating a miracle, a Christmas miracle. It doesn't just begin in Luke chapter 2. I want to take you back to Luke chapter 1. Because it is the fulfillment of a prophecy that was made in the Old Testament, Micah 5:2, that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of our Lord and Savior. And so in Luke chapter 1, it would take a miracle for this old couple. Zechariah is an elderly man, a priest. His wife, Elizabeth, is advanced in age, and they don't have any kids. But the lot, the choice of God, falls on Zechariah, and he's offering sacrifice in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, "You and your wife are going to have a child. And you're going to call him, name him John," which means God is gracious. And he's going to be the forerunner of Messiah to prepare the way of salvation and the Savior. And Zechariah didn't believe it because he was advanced in age and his wife was advanced in age. It would take a miracle, and he wasn't willing to claim that at that point in the journey. And because he didn't believe, the angel Gabriel gave him a sign and said, "Well, then you're not going to be able to talk for the next 9 months. And then when the baby is born and you have him circumcised and you name him, then your voice will return." And sure enough, he was mute, not able to talk. And then the angel Gabriel paid a visit to a young woman named Mary, a teenager. And he said to her, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You're going to bear the Christ, the promised Messiah." And she says, "Well, but how is this going to happen because I'm a virgin?" It wasn't that she didn't believe it could happen. She just wanted to know how God was going to do it, seeing she was a virgin. And Gabriel says, "Well, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The child will be called holy, the Son of God, the Savior of the world." And she said, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Because with God, all things are possible. The rhema, the word of God, is never powerless. It always possesses the gift of the miraculous. Now, Martin Luther when he reflected upon this visit of the angel to Mary, said that there were three miracles at Christmas. He was quoting St. Bernard, an 11th century French cleric, who said that when you come to this story of Christmas, the announcement or the annunciation to Mary, there's three miracles. It's first of all the incarnation, that God would come as man in flesh. Secondly, that marriage was and remained a Mary remained a virgin. But then Luther, he said, but the greatest miracle of all is that she believed. That she believed that she would be the mother of our Lord. And all this would be for naught, Luther said, if faith is not formed in us, if the child of God is not born in our wombs. Mary went to check it out. She was given a sign, not because she didn't believe like Zechariah, but because she did believe. She went to her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was 6 months along, because the angel Gabriel said, she who was barren is going to have a child. I know it sounds impossible, but believe it, Mary. So she goes to the Judean area, Ein Kerem, a small village. And as soon as she sees her kinswoman Elizabeth and the two speak and the two embrace, immediately this six-month-old fetus that's developing in the womb of Elizabeth leaps as a testimonial. Because Zechariah said that the baby will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he comes out of the womb. And so John the Baptist is bearing witness, testimony, that Mary has in her womb an immaculate conception. As soon as the leaping happens, Elizabeth gives her own testimony. She does a blessing. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the word spoken by the Lord. Blessed are you, Mary. And Mary sings her Magnificat, that God is doing a new thing, and that the proud and the haughty is being brought down, and the rich are being emptied, and the poor are being lifted up, and they have good news preached to them. That's the context of our gospel reading for tonight. You see, Caesar Augustus thinks that he calls the shots. Caesar Augustus believes that the Roman government is in charge of the Pax Romana, the peace of the empire. He says, jump, and everyone says, how high? He says, there's going to be a registration, a census, so we can collect taxes, and everybody has to do what they're told to do, because he's in charge. Or so he assumes. But we know why Mary and Joseph end up in Bethlehem. Because the prophet Micah foretold it. Because Bethlehem, even though it was small and little and insignificant, would become the manger, the house of bread for the bread of life, the place where the good shepherd would be born, and eventually in Jerusalem on a cross lay down his life for all the sheep of God. Joseph and Mary, they go. There's no place for them in the guest room or in the inn. And so Jesus is born in a barn. Good enough for our Lord, good enough for us. You ever hear that phrase when somebody said, shut the door, were you born in a barn? Good enough for my Lord, good enough for me was the response I heard when I was a kid. The shepherds were the first to hear the good news as they were taking care of their sheep out in the field. Imagine that. It would take a miracle, wouldn't it, for shepherds, uneducated, never observed the law, didn't worship faithfully, for them to hear good news and believe in it? But the angels announced, for to you, not to everyone else but you, but for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there's a sign for them, too. You're going to find the king wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And there was with the angel a host of heavenly angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace to God's people on earth. The Prince of Peace is born in Bethlehem. A Christmas miracle. But Luther said, the miracle that we celebrate is that the Prince of Peace, that the bread of life, that the good shepherd, that the infant Jesus is given birth in our hearts and made manifest in our lives. Christmas and Epiphany in the womb of Christ, the church, his beloved bride. It would take a miracle. There was an airline company called WestJet. They decided that they were going to film a commercial, a marketing tool. And so what they decided to do was, way back in August of this year, they got about 150 of their workers, and they started laying the groundwork for the planning stages. It would be called a Christmas miracle. And what they did was, in November, as people were getting on two different planes, and they were heading to Calgary, WestJet had people stand in front of a screen where they had to flash their boarding pass. And then as soon as they did that, there was Santa standing, if you will, within this viral mechanism of the screen and was calling them by a name and saying, "What do you want for Christmas?" And they said, "Well, I want a great big TV." And another one person said, a dad goes, "Well, socks and underwear." And everybody was saying what they wanted. And then when they got on the plane and they traveled a few hours on their flight to Calgary, then the little elves got busy, all these employees of WestJet, and they went out and they rapidly bought all these gifts that were wished for, and they wrapped them up, and then when they landed and they went to the carousel to get their luggage, here was coming down all of these packages with their names on them, the gifts that they had asked for. A Christmas miracle, so they thought. Now, when WestJet did this, they were hoping to get 800,000 hits on their viral video. But within a few days of it being posted, 13 million hits. Satisfied customers going out and telling everybody that they met about what they had received and what had happened, announcing their good news. There was one marketing agency that said, "You know what the real Christmas miracle is? All the free advertising that they got that they couldn't have paid for." The satisfied customers. I mean, is that the Christmas miracle? That we stand in front of a screen, you know, when we're checking in, and we tell Santa what we want, and we get off of the plane, and we stand at the carousel, we get a package with our name on it, that we get so excited about, that we tell everybody in the world about? 13 million people in just a few days already watching it, millions of more by now. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When the shepherds went as they were directed and they found the Christ child, they returned home praising God for all that they had heard and that they had seen, the gift of faith being created in the heart where only unbelief chooses to reside. A story for you. A woman by the name of Ruby Hamilton became a Christian in her almost 30 years old, late 20s. And when she became a Christian, her husband didn't follow the same path. She prayed for 32 years of their marriage that he would become a believer in Christ. Every day she prayed. On May 7th, she got this overwhelming reassurance that her husband was going to be okay. It was like it was the voice of God speaking to her. Later that day, she got the news that her husband had been killed in a traffic accident. And she said, "It was at that point that I decided to stop living for God. All those years, all those prayers, and God hadn't kept his word." There was a young man who had just gotten out of his military service time, had just been discharged. His name was Roger Simmons. He was heading back home. He was hitchhiking with the thumb up, and all of a sudden, lugging this big suitcase, dressed in his army uniform, a big black shiny Cadillac stopped. He got in, had thrown his suitcase in the back seat, and he thanked the gentleman that was driving. As they were talking, the driver said, So you headed home? And he said, yeah. He said, I just finished my time in the army. I'm going to home. And the driver said, well, if you're going to Chicago, you're in luck, because that's where I'm going. He said, my name's Mr. Hamilton, and I have a business there, Hamilton Enterprises. He said, here, you can have one of my cards. And they talked for quite some time, and the young man wasn't going as far as Chicago because it was before then, but he felt the stirring of the Holy Spirit to bear witness to his Christian faith. And so he said, I hope this isn't being too forward of me, Mr. Hamilton, but I feel that God wants me to say something to you. And he began to share his faith, and he began to speak to him about the good news of Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, after he had been sharing his faith, the driver, Mr. Hamilton, pulled over abruptly to the side and stopped the car on the shoulder of the road. Roger said, I figured that he was tired of me talking to him about Jesus, that he's going to give me the boot and kick me out. Instead, he said, this man bent on the steering wheel and began to weep. And right there beside the road, he asked for God's forgiveness and received Jesus Christ into his heart. Roger Simmons got home, got married, had a couple of kids, started a business of his own. 5 years later, right before Christmas, he was grabbing a suitcase because he needed to make a trip to Chicago. He was packing a few things, and he saw that little business card that he'd been given. He thought, you know, if I'm going to be in Chicago, I'm going to look up Mr. Hamilton and see if he remembers me. 5 years had passed. So he gets to Hamilton Enterprises, and he asked the receptionist, he said, can I see Mr. Hamilton? She said, no, you can't. But you can see his wife. She's here. So he went in, and Mrs. Hamilton said, you knew my husband? And he said, yes. As a matter of fact, she said, well, how did you know him? He said, well, 5 years ago, I just got out of the army. I was hitchhiking, and your husband stopped in a great big black Cadillac and gave me a ride. She said, you remember what day that was? He said, yeah, it was the day I got discharged, May 7th. She said, did anything happen in that car? And he said, well, I don't know if I should tell you this, but yeah, I felt moved by the Holy Spirit to share my faith with your husband. And I did. And he began to weep. He confessed his sins and he asked Christ into his heart. Is your husband here? And Mrs. Hamilton said, no. After he dropped you off, he was hit by another car and he was killed that day. She said, for the last 5 years, I've lived with bitterness and anger at God, thinking that God hadn't kept his word, hadn't fulfilled his promise, and that my husband, whom I loved and buried after 32 years of marriage, didn't know Christ as his Lord and Savior. She said, today, you've given me the miracle of Christmas. And faith is reborn in my heart also. Phillips Brooks went in 1866 over to Bethlehem, saw Manger Square and the Grotto. He came home to Philadelphia, where he was a rector at Trinity Church. And as he looked at the snow falling like it is tonight out there on the square, he composed O Little Town of Bethlehem. The first verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem is about the miracle that took place in the city. So it's about the place of the miracle, Bethlehem. The second verse is about the miracle of the birth of the Christ child. The third verse is how silently, as they contemplate and consider the gift, the miracle that has been given to them. But the fourth verse, he said, was the most important. Because in the words of Luther, it doesn't matter unless the Christ child is born by faith in us. You remember those words? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Be born in us today. It was Dale Bruner who said that every conversion is a virgin birth. That the Genesis of Jesus in the womb of Mary and the birth of faith, our faith in Jesus Christ, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, you who are expecting a miracle, looking for a miracle, celebrating a miracle, tonight, to you is born the Savior. To you, for you, and in you, Christ is born. And this shall be a sign for you. You shall find in the city of Rochester, in the sanctuary of your Lord, wrapped in bread and wine and lying on an altar, the gift of Messiah Jesus, your Lord and your Savior, that creates faith, the faith that saves. The people who dwelt in darkness, upon them the light has shined. The birth of Christ in you. The miracle of Christmas. Merry Christmas. Amen.